This episode is brought to you by Shopify. Forget the frustration of picking commerce platforms when you switch your business to Shopify, the global commerce platform that supercharges your selling wherever you sell. With Shopify, you'll harness the same intuitive features, trusted apps, and powerful analytics used by the world's leading brands. Sign up today for your $1 per month trial period at shopify.com/tech, all lowercase. That's shopify.com/tech.
We're live on YouTube, Rumble, Twitter. We will be live in a moment on Rockfin. And give that little red button a second here. Thank you guys, Zach and Ian, for joining me today. Going to be very interesting, the subject we're talking about, which is going to start with the ship, but it's going to get more interesting after that, I believe. And we're now live on Rockfin as well. So let's go ahead and dive in to this story, which the Francis Scott Key Bridge collapsed today around 1:28 this morning after being hit by a cargo ship. It was a 985-foot-long vessel that struck one of the bridge's supports going 9.2 miles per hour, causing the 1.6-mile-long bridge to break apart and fall into the water.
Like toothpicks.
I thought you said like two dicks. So what kind of bridges have you been riding on?
Yeah, every bridge I drive on is a two-dick.
It's a two-dick bridge. Yeah, it's a Pete Buttigieg infrastructure right there. Yeah, that kind of
that's
bridge.
That's how you measure things in Baltimore. Yeah. Just how many dicks is that one?
How many dicks is that one? But it depends on who's. And we're already veering off into the dick jokes. We haven't even got into the story yet. But it went down faster than P. Diddy's reputation. And apparently, The operators of this cargo ship issued a mayday call shortly before the vessel lost power leading up to the crash. It lost power a couple of times, 4 minutes. Like at 1:25, it lost power and black smoke. No, before that, at 1:25, black smoke started billowing in the air. And it had lost power for 4 minutes, and then it came back on, apparently, a minute later. And then in the 2 minutes before, because it hit it at 1:28, it, flickered on and off again. Very strange. And there were no cars, apparently, on the bridge when it fell. And the reason for this is because of that mayday call.
No, there were cars on the bridge.
Well, they're saying that the officers got... Was there cars on the bridge? Are they saying that
that's now? I heard there was, a dozen cars that really to the bridge, but everything's a lie. Who knows?
Maybe there were. Yeah. Maybe I didn't get the latest update on that.
Apparently, construction on the bridge.
There was construction workers working on potholes at one, which is normal. If I drive late at night sometimes, and they always do construction late at night,
as they should.
So that checks out. And I think it was eight construction workers, and two of them they found, and six of them they have not found, and some articles say they presume that they're dead. I hope that that's not the case. I hope it's all made up.
It's
personally
always been one of my biggest fears, is to be in my car and just veer off it into the water.
I'm terrified when I go over a bridge, because those bridges are going to collapse one day, and somebody may or may not be on them, depending on if the police can get there in time after the mayday call.
I've watched the YouTube videos. You got 60 seconds to make some very quick decisions.
I always crack my window and I get ready to dive out. I just close my eyes when I'm driving across the bridge. What I thought
how
was
many decisions can you really make anyway? You can floor it or you can stop. That's about it.
And swim. I have a little boat in my
60
car.
60 seconds. Yeah. Get your decisions ready.
Well, that's to the officers that got the mayday. They got there in less than 2 minutes. I thought that was interesting in Baltimore that they were able to get there and stop the cars.
Well, how close was it to a Dunkin' Donuts?
I don't know what the normal behavior is in that area. So maybe they are always by there. Maybe it's just so crime riddled that there's cops everywhere. I don't know, but they're still looking for the other six. And one of the two that they pulled out seems to be doing okay. The other one, I don't know his status, but he's not doing as well as the other guy. The head of supply chain management for this company called Flexport has warned that Americans need to expect shortages in the wake of this, the aftermath. And that's just what we need. Is more supply chain shortages and higher prices.
One ship, and we're going to be warned of shortages?
This is the most important ship, I think.
I guess the bridge is blocking access to the port.
Yeah,
now that it's in the water.
Yeah, and this ship.
Yeah, yeah.
It had previously been flagged for two deficiencies since 2015. One of them being the propulsion and auxiliary machinery deficiency, which is something that was cited as being an issue with the vessel today, by the Cybersecurity and Infrastructure Agency, which that right there is like, don't worry, it's not any terrorism, which the White House, even though they do not know what caused it, they just know it's not terrorism. And yet, oh, my screen just shorted out.
Yeah.
Am I frozen right now?
Yeah, you're frozen.
All right. I'm going to pop out for 2 seconds. You guys, meet each other. I will be right back, and hopefully this problem will be taken care of.
Mm-hmm. So what it looked like to me, Zach, when I saw the lights go out and the smoke coming up, I imagined that there was a fight happening. Like one of those big end of the movie fights.
Yeah. Right? Wait, like an unsanctioned fight? Because I know like boxing is big on ships. Always going on.
No, I didn't think an organized fight. Like that's I'm thinking like a end of
like
an action
a rumble.
Thriller.
Yeah.
Or like an end of an action thriller, like Die Hard. Like our main good guy and our main bad guy were fighting it out on the ship.
It was a little diehardy.
Yeah.
Yeah. Now
we would have probably seen people like swinging from shit and sliding all over the place.
Yeah.
I don't know.
Oh, they
but
deepfaked
I do like
those
the unsanctioned.
Out.
They were probably not paying attention to where they were going because they were having yet again another unsanctioned fight among the crew.
I thought you were going to say they were having Pete Buttigieg sex, which is like an unsanctioned fight among the crew. It's very similar.
Yeah. Yeah.
They are at sea for a very long time. You know, there's plenty of women on that ship.
I don't like I don't want to seem insensitive and make light of it if six people are dead. I always question I know that people do die in accidents, but I hope that they're lying to us about that. I hope that those people are okay. But what I thought was interesting is that Biden has come out and said that he will seek funds from Congress to rebuild the bridge, which is great since all of the money from his infrastructure bill goes to Ukraine to help destroy their infrastructure. It's good that we're going to get some more money coming to build this bridge right now. He's also ruled out terrorism, as I said, and they don't know the cause yet. They're still trying to figure that out, which brings me to my question to you, Zach. And Zach, you work in cybersecurity, right?
Yeah.
You told me some very interesting things on y'all's show, Liberty Libations, the other night, and what a perfect timing for this story here to get your expert insight. We have Fulton County has been held hostage by cyber attackers since the end of January. You know, they have the most consequential criminal trial in history happening there, but they don't have control of their own government. Millions of people just had their names and social security numbers dumped onto the web by a cyber hacker that somehow got their data from AT&T back in 2021, which AT&T says it didn't come from them, but somehow this person got them, or this hacking group. Cyber hacking is a $1 trillion industry worldwide, and it's been said by the DOD it's the biggest threat to national security that we're currently facing. It's like the future of modern warfare, and I've been looking out for this. I said a couple weeks ago, they're probably going to do some sort of cyber attack. I don't know if this is it or not, but I think that they will do one that will be used to justify increased spending on the cyber industrial military complex like thing, because that's the way war is being fought now, along with the kinetic war. Maybe this was not a cyber attack. What are your thoughts, Zach? Is it possible that this was?
Yeah, I mean, I feel like anytime someone asks that question, it's always possible. Like, whatever the question, there are people that can hack whatever it is, or, you know, it's definitely possible. I don't think it was in this case, probably. But, you know, as far as things like I've seen and I've tested critical infrastructure. I've had friends who have tested cargo ships and tankers and found critical vulnerabilities in them. So
what kind of vulnerabilities?
I'm not privy to what my friend found. He told me it was bad. Oh, I don't know. He didn't tell me. I would spill the beans right here. I would, but for me, like I've tested stuff that you would consider pretty critical that you can get into from anywhere on the internet and basically own the system. And I feel like by the time someone like me has figured that out, you know, the Chinese probably already know about it and all like the full-time black hat hackers know about it. And I'm just kind of cleaning up after them. So
And that's why I wanted to talk about this subject in relation to this bridge collapse. Even if it's not a cyber attack that did it, all the things I just mentioned, what you just mentioned about China, cyber attacks are happening all the freaking time. And it's in the public, the collective consciousness that one is going to happen and that we are all vulnerable to one. So it's natural for people to suspect that it might be, especially when you have the government come out and say, we don't know what it is. We just know it wasn't terrorism. Let's get some more money to rebuild that bridge. And, you know, Pete Buttigieg comes out and says it's a racist bridge and maybe it deserved it. But it's like they're stoking a fear around that, maybe justifiably. I don't know. What are your thoughts on how vulnerable we are individually and as a country to cyber attacks?
Yeah, it's probably pretty bad. I mean, I don't know, like, individually if we would be targets of, you know, and not like every single person is vulnerable themselves or every single company or application, but there's just so much insecurity out there. It doesn't really take you much searching to find something that would be like critically vulnerable and, you know, a real pain in the butt or dangerous even to mess with. I don't know. Like, I have clients every now and then that's like, oh no, your stuff's pretty good. You're pretty secure. We spun our wheels for a week and we didn't find anything. And then we have others where it's like, we just find the worst stuff you could imagine. And then it's like, that's been out there sitting for like 20 years sometimes. Yeah, like some of these apps are, you know, super old, and that alone is bad enough.
And we don't even realize it if you don't have the knowledge about it like you do, you don't even really think about it, I think. I want to get back to that a little bit more in a second. Catherine has a couple of good comments, or a lot of good comments. She says, wasn't Baltimore getting prank Mayday calls for the last few weeks? I don't know. Well, that's interesting if they were. I'm not sure. And she also says, were they running some kind of drill? This is the type of thing you might see with some type of drill. But then again, everything looks like a live simulation to me.
Maybe, you know, I'm pretty ignorant about Baltimore. It's such a hard accent to get down. Baltimore. But I'm a little ignorant about it. So I don't quite understand the significance of why this is going to enter. Why would this be a target? I don't understand how one bridge could be a terrorist target. I'm just not saying it isn't, but why?
What they said from what I read is that this bridge, it's going to be down. And so they're not going to be able to have any of the, they're not going to have trucks be able to go back and forth across it, which is carrying a lot of the supply chain. I don't know.
It is other a mile than, and a half, right? The bridge is like a mile.
Yes, a mile and a half, but it's apparently a major highway for supply
like a
chain.
Choke point.
I mean, yeah, right. Down, a choke point.
It went down like toothpicks. That's the scary thing.
I know. It went down
in less than 5 seconds.
Oh, and the crew that they had working on it or driving it, what did they call them? They were a specifically chosen crew. They were specialists in avoiding running into things.
I guess when the ship's working.
Right. And so that could be out of their control. You're right. If it's set in like the power went out at the perfect time is what some of them calls. And any word brings up the Obama Netflix movie Manifesting in Real Life. Are you guys familiar with that? Where the movie opens up with the ship coming forward.
Should I watch that movie?
I started to watch it. I
saw it. It's not worth it.
Okay.
I actually stopped as soon as I realized Obama was the producer of it. Is the Rockfin stream live, guys? I'm looking at the screen and my screen is dark here. I think it is because people are commenting, but
yeah, I didn't think about the truck aspect of the supply chain. I for some reason, I'm always thinking of ships because our major supply chain problems lately have been from China to here.
Yeah.
So, well, I think it would keep the ships from getting in the harbor, too.
Yes, I guess you're right about that. I mean,
You know, they could have flown the cargo over, but the door might have blown off right over the bridge. It falls onto the bridge and we end up with the same result.
Time to invent shrink rays. You just invent a shrink ray. You shrink all the cargo. You carry it over in a suitcase and you know.
Yeah, it's going to have to walk it because it's planes, trains, and crashes is all we have right now. It's like they don't want us moving cargo. They don't want us traveling anywhere with all of these. I don't know how out of the ordinary a cargo ship running into something is. I don't think they collapse bridges very often. but maybe it's, you know, not uncommon for them to get into accidents. It is weird. It looked like it was made of paper, the way that the whole thing went down.
I'm never driving on a suspension bridge ever again.
I'm done driving cargo ships, personally.
Yeah, and no more cargo ships for me either.
Yeah. So, Zach, you said something that I had a question for. But all right. So how would you hack a cargo ship?
Well, I guess first you have to find it. So you have to know, you know, what it's like, how to address it, what its IP address is, or, you know, how you access it over the internet, if it's even remotely accessible. If not, you might have to target the company that owns it, or, you know, be physically close to it, or sneak on board, which seems really dangerous. I don't know. Like, just that's probably a job.
Put on a hat, put on one of those, like, you know, docker's hats. Yeah. Just dress like a docker from like the 1920s and they'll fit right in.
I'd dress like cargo. Like, I'd put on, I could get down, I'd look like cargo.
Yeah, yeah. Ship yourself like somewhere.
Yeah, yeah, a box outfit. I was in a commercial once where one of our friends, I was in an ice freezer, and then one of our other friends was actually playing a gas station chip stand, and he looked exactly like the chip stand. And that's what I'm thinking when I want to infiltrate this this cargo. Because you know the CIA has better costumes than commercials
they have
do.
Amazing costume department.
Was it a suspension bridge? I'm not sure. Do you guys know?
I think that was a suspension bridge, right?
It's a dead bridge is what it is right now. Well, here's what they tell us that the four main issues are. This is what they say. These are the four things we want you to focus on. Is how big is the ripple effect on shipping going to be? That's what we were just talking about a moment ago. I say in the short term.
No pun intended.
Yeah. In the short term, it's going to change some of the milk runs, forcing East Coast ports to pick up some of the slack. So, you know, you better hope somebody's lactating nearby. You're not going to be getting any milk. And then next we have, what's the scale of the federal response, which is going to be that infrastructure. Like Buttigieg was talking about $1 billion. I'll play his clip in a second. How partisan will this get?
Probably a little bit.
A little bit partisan.
We'll know by tomorrow morning.
So I'm going to play this clip here of Buttigieg, or whatever, however you say his name. And afterwards, I want you to tell us, Zach, how you would find their IP address. If this was your penetration testing mission, what your approach to getting that would be. Let me share this with y'all. Hopefully this doesn't short the screen out. There's old Pete. Old Pete Buttigieg. You know, I like Vivek, but I can't get that image out of my mind of Vivek and Pete here being at the same like young politician event. Have you guys seen that? Mm-hmm. They're both asking questions. It's all right, here we go.
I'm still surprised that some people were surprised when I pointed to the fact that if a highway was built for the purpose of dividing a white and a black neighborhood, or if an underpass was constructed such that a bus carrying mostly black and Puerto Rican kids to a beach, or that would have been in New York, was designed too low for it to pass by, but that obviously reflects racism that went into those design choices. I don't think we have anything to lose by confronting that simple reality. And I think we have everything to gain by acknowledging it and then dealing with it, which is why the Reconnecting Communities, that $1 billion, is something we want to get to work right away, putting to work.
But that's such a heavy lift. I mean, you have to reconstruct communities that this happened to. As you said, some of these beltways and interstates and roadways were built before the Civil Rights Act, before the Voting Rights Act, and were meant to be racist. But how do you go about redefining and replanning these roadways and communities that are already settled in since then?
So what's interesting is it's going to vary by community, and we have to listen to the community. Sometimes it really is the case that an overpass went in a certain way that is so harmful that it's got to come down or maybe be put underground. Other times,
That sounded like some sort of weird admission.
So harmful. Is the Francis Scott Key a racist bridge?
Like, it sounds like it.
It sounds like this was a pretty white supremacist bridge.
Totally.
Maybe the really important thing is to connect across, to add rather than subtract. And that's where we don't want to impose a one-size-fits-all answer from here. But when we were out in Syracuse, for example, looking at I-81, we saw the local vision for how they want to get past those divisions. And those local ideas are going to be taken very seriously as we try to meet the spirit of this law.
Sure they will, Fievel.
That is so, I mean, that was weird where it's, you know, we might have to change things with this racist bridge. Ian, I don't know if you saw the Klan meme where they had the Klan hood hanging from the bridge as the ship was approaching it. And maybe that's what they do. Maybe they reconstruct this bridge and it's the George Floyd bridge or whatever the guy, as you mentioned before the show, Zach.
The anti-racist George Floyd bridge. Yeah. And they're the tolls to get across.
Just for white people.
Yes. Only for, you'll have a white toll.
Yeah. You have to pay reparations to get across.
And it'll be the
bridge.
One drop rule. If you have one drop of white in you, you're white. That's going to be
it.
The new
Obama's
rule.
White.
One drop of white, you're white. You know.
Yeah, yeah.
It's
yeah,
the new rule.
Obama can just pay it to himself, though. So,
yeah. Do you guys see the way he just smiles? It's just obviously racist construction of this bridge.
He's such a piece of
shit. That's not obvious to anybody. And I would challenge anybody who thinks that is obvious to actually explain in detail that argument. Instead of glossing over it the way that they did, but nobody challenges them.
This is Biden's whole cabinet is people like him. It's just a bunch of weirdo progressives like him. And that's the only thing he's listening to.
So Catherine got us some information here. A press release from March 6th, of 2024. The U.S. Coast Guard seeks public assistance with hoax caller near Baltimore. The Coast Guard Investigative Service is seeking the public's assistance with locating the individual responsible for communicating a series of false distress calls in the Baltimore area Wednesday. The series of falsified distress calls began on February 17th, 2024, and have been transmitted over VHF Channel 16. The calls are believed to have originated from the Strawberry Point area in Baltimore and consist of an individual calling out for help with no location. Now, is that near the same, if it's in Baltimore, I guess it has to be pretty close. That's interesting. That's very, thank you, Catherine. It's very interesting information there. See, that to me, that raises my suspicion. That makes me think it's on purpose when you start to see stuff like that in the same, how often do hoax calls happen around bridges? Who is going, I'm going to sit around and I'm going to put in a hoax call about a bridge? That seems like a weird thing.
On a marine radio, too.
Yeah.
Very high frequency.
Who even knows how to do that unless you're trained?
I don't know what radio does that. Like, I'm sure you could get it on Amazon, maybe, but
that's
totally, like a lot of effort.
That is wild. That's not just a random teenager doing a prank like that.
Yeah,
I agree. Awfully strange coincidence there. Zach, we had a comment for you up here before we came in. We said, look at that handsome, look at how handsome Zach is from Buddy there.
Yeah, thanks, Buddy.
Is that Pete Buttigieg? Is that? All right, so let's talk about cybersecurity. We're not going to know what this actually is for a little while or until we dig into it more.
Maybe never. Probably never. A lot of times, we just depend on them admitting something or somebody like taking credit for it.
It'll be declassified in 90 years. Yeah.
Yeah.
Or that bridge. There's evidence on that bridge at the bottom of the ocean that we'll never see.
Yeah.
Tell us about...
We'll find the hacker's passport.
Fully intact at the bottom of the river. Yeah, yeah. What is it? What do you do? You were saying some very interesting things the other day about your job. I find it fascinating. Just tell us in general what you do as a cybersecurity professional.
Yeah. So I guess my job title always makes people giggle. I'm a penetration tester. So
that's what Biden calls himself.
Yeah.
Yeah. Well, mine is the somewhat, it's the legal and ethical kind. I'm not, sniffing any kid's hair or whatever. Yes. But so basically the idea there is that we do, assessments where we try to emulate what attackers would do on whatever scope you want. So it could be your entire company. And I've had people come to us with just a company name, like, hey, how are we vulnerable in any way? Like, you can try to hack our website. You can try to phish our people. You can try to come break into our office for all we care.
So tell people what phishing is. I think most people know, but just
so phishing is just basically scam emails, like somebody trying to get you to click a malicious link or download and run a file. And most of the time they're terrible. And you see, broken English and obvious scam.
Nigerian Prince scam. They used to have as the original.
Brad fell for one.
I did. Our friend And that's another story for another time. Continue.
So, anyway, just all the way down to like the scope going to be smaller, where most of the time I'm just testing like web applications, where some software company will be like, here's my new product, please test it before it goes live. So really runs the whole gambit of what I can do, from, you know, testing specific stuff all the way up to like doing entire organizations and trying to hack them or break in and just whatever, and then reporting those vulnerabilities so hopefully they can patch them before anybody does it for real.
And you are able to exploit them and get inside, penetrate their systems, if you will. What is your approach to it? How do you do effective phishing schemes? Like, what's your go-to move?
It's a lot. So, you know, especially those ones at the top where you're testing the entire organization, those are called red teams.
Yeah.
You know, it's almost more like free form jazz sometimes, where you just have to kind of adapt and make it up as you go and see what works and what doesn't. And, you know,
I like that description of it.
So we would start with just like collecting as much information as possible about the client, about the industry and, you know, their applications, and just seeing how everything works. You know, you even want to like learn company lingo or industry lingo if you can, so that you sound more legit if you're talking to somebody.
So they're not thrown by anything in the email that you send them.
Yeah. And then we would look for, you know, technical and vulnerabilities, like some of the stuff in critical infrastructure recently. It's like, technically, it's a technical vulnerability. It exists in some system, but it might be super easy to identify and exploit, like some of the water treatment plants that were getting hacked. It was because they had left their password as 1111, which is how it came, like from the developer. So, you know, we would see stuff like that all the time, where it's like, you know, we tried admin and password and it let us in.
So what could you do damage if you were actually trying to do something by getting into that system, the water? I mean, you could, there actually were warnings of attacks on the water treatment plants in the news the other day.
Yeah. It just depends on the system. I mean, there's been times where it's like you get into something, you're like, this is the gold mine. I can do so much damage right now. Of course, I don't do that damage. I have to just then write it up and tell them about it. But if I were malicious, you know, they would just be screwed.
So what's an example of that, the worst case scenario for somebody?
Well, I guess worst case scenario is that all your customer data gets leaked. That's pretty bad. And that happens all the time. And I have, you know, helped as part of red teams break into places where within like 24 hours, we went from having zero access to having their entire customer database. And one time I did it sitting across the street from Pond City Market and getting on like their Wi-Fi and doing it that way. So that was a pretty worst case scenario. And like, we were really proud of ourselves.
Dude, you're like anonymous.
You know, I played a cybersecurity expert on season 2, episode 1 of The Resident. So I know a little bit. I know a little bit about how cyber hackers work.
Is that the medical TV show?
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Yeah, I didn't know that.
It's not the story. You know, the attacks come from the inside.
The TV show Mr. Robot actually got a lot of things right. Like, it's still exaggerated, but they worked with like legit people. Yeah. And, you know, things that they did, you'd be like, well, you know, it's technically possible. It's not like crazy insane that they did that. It might not happen every day, but
I pick up little pieces of knowledge here and there. And so, for instance, I had a friend who does cybersecurity, and all he did was tell me one time about how through a wireless keyboard, they could see my keystrokes through the wireless keyboard.
Oh, yeah.
So now I use wired
keyboards. Is that a logger?
I am sure I'm vulnerable in many other ways, but I got that one locked down.
Well, it's so overwhelming for people because it's exhausting to have a bunch of different passwords. Most people have the same password. If you can crack one and you know their email address,
just be broke, and then no one will ever hack you.
That's true. Yeah. Well, and nobody will want to steal your identity either. But I think people, like you said, the 111 thing, that's crazy to me that a company like that would do that when they can just pay somebody, make it their job to have a bunch of different passwords or whatever. I don't know what the most secure ways are.
I mean, there are people paid to do that, and they overlook things or they don't find it.
And it's human vulnerability that's almost how you guys get in every single time, right?
I mean, that's the most reliable way for sure. Cause it's like in, you know, these tests, sometimes there just is no technical way in. Like we'll do vulnerability scans, we'll have pen testers look at their systems and it's like, oh, we're not really coming up with anything. So we move on to the next thing we would do, which a lot of times would either be go to their office and see if we can get in after hours and plug some stuff into computers or even like steal computers and stuff like that. And then other times it would be like if they weren't around us and we couldn't go to their office or if they had taken that off the table, we would just, you know, start doing phishing and stuff like that, which it's getting a lot harder to do that. But we used to do things like, you know, buy domain names that were really, really close to their legitimate domain name. And then, you know, set up email, do everything legit, just like we were spinning up our own company, even like put up a website there that looks just like theirs, and then start sending email from somebody we even know to exist there. We wouldn't just make up names, but we would, you know, look on LinkedIn and find out who would actually be sending an email like this and like what would they actually be talking about so that it's realistic as possible.
You try to avoid all of their possible triggers, right? And Ian brought up when I got hacked and I lost my Facebook page. And it was my buddy, our friend, he sent me this text message saying that it was this very short-lived one episode web series called Idiot Losers that Ian was starring from years ago. He said, our Idiot Losers page is going to be taken down from Facebook. And I was like, what? And he sends me the link to it and I don't ever get on Facebook. Had I been on Facebook and that came to me, I would have looked at it closer. But since my friend sent it to me, I looked at it and I was like, oh, I should. I was like, it looks like Meta. I didn't even think about it. And I click on it. I enter my email address and my password. And the next day, my page was gone forever. And Meta doesn't help you at all. And you were telling me the other day that there's times you created fake or dummy websites that look so good that you would be surprised almost if people didn't fall for it.
Yeah. Like there's ones that I've personally made or I've seen that are like, I do not blame anybody who falls for this because it's so close. Like the scenario makes sense. The person, you know, whose name we're using actually works there and actually does this job function. And then we would do things too, like we would email just some nonsense, maybe email that would get sent to spam and nobody, a human would never even notice. But anyone who's on vacation, it would bounce back to us and we'd be able to see what their signature looked like. So that way we can, or we would just email in with some random stupid question and somebody would answer us. And then we have the signature that looks 100% like theirs that we could use.
So smart. Oh, man.
That's interesting. That's very interesting. Yeah. It's like you guys are disguising yourselves as other people, but digitally.
Yeah.
A quick correction of the record. Any word says that the Francis Scott Key Bridge or Key Scott Bridge, whatever it's called, is a truss bridge, T-R-U-S-S, or truss structure, not a suspension bridge.
Okay.
So, yeah.
I don't know what the difference is.
I don't either. I have no idea what the difference is.
I know they connect pieces of land.
Right. I know you can drive over them until a cargo ship runs into it. And then you got to swim across in the freezing water. But we talked about earlier how vulnerable we are. What, if anything, can we do? Because it seems exhausting to try and constantly be, is this fake? Is that, I mean, it looks so real that we'd be doing nothing else if we had to do that all day.
Yeah. I mean, for individuals, it's not like every single one of us is super vulnerable or I could, you know, hack Ian's home computer or something like that.
Could you hack his home computer?
I mean, probably not because I'd never be able to find it.
Are you just saying that or like, do you think you really could privately?
I'm an actor.
Probably not.
Act like I was fighting back.
There's going to be a gentleman approach you with a job to do a penetration testing into Ian's home server.
I mean, maybe. I mean, if there was like a financial way to do it, I mean, like
you could get people's email addresses. I'd figure it out, maybe. You can get passwords.
Yeah.
How do you get people's passwords?
Well, a lot of them have already been breached. So that's a common way to do it is to look at things that have already been released online. Like it's getting old now, but there was one from LinkedIn. It was like back in 2013. And just like all these clear text passwords, just, you know, you can read the password. They're not encrypted. They're not hashed.
Where do you go to do that?
I don't know. I would have to actually start looking for them because I've looked for them before.
Is this where you...
That might be one place, but probably not, because a lot of times you can just find them on the internet. There's things called Google dorks, which, you know, it's basically the search terms for Google, or like the advanced terms, which I'm sure you're familiar with because you've done a lot of research. And you can find them a lot of times just hosted on somebody's site that, you know, that maybe is 200 pages deep in Google.
Did you say you Google really have, dorks?
Yeah, they're called dorks. That's when you use like the site colon and
The search modifiers.
Yeah, that's what they're for whatever reason in cybersecurity, they call it Google dorking.
Yeah, interesting. Although
search modifiers makes way more sense. I don't know why we don't do that, but I don't know. There's all sorts of ways to do that. But then go ahead, Ian.
No. I was just saying they've even made it hard to find things with the modifiers in my
opinion. They have.
Yeah. It's gotten difficult. Yeah. So honestly, today I wouldn't know how to find it. I would just have to go out and look for them and see where I end up. But that used to be the way. We just find them on random websites. Sometimes the hackers would release them on their own website, or, you know, maybe it would be the dark net. But a lot of times it wouldn't be. It would just be circulating and you'd have to know where to look. And then, you know, I might be able to look up, all right, here's Brad's LinkedIn password. Is that also what he uses at work? Yeah. And maybe it is. And I'm able to get into your work account because you use the same password.
And that's why they tell you to use different passwords right there. Yeah. Just for that.
And so that's one way. And then, you know, other times you can find vulnerabilities like in the company that lets you in without a password. Maybe like there's like side channel attacks where you're not going in the front door. You're instead doing some other thing that allows you whatever access you need. Yeah.
Yeah. How do you hack a thermostat? I saw this story about this company being taken over because their smart thermostat was hacked.
Oh yeah. Can't you just, I mean, I guess thermostat off the wall and get a new thermostat.
Yeah. You could probably do that.
Oh, we lost your audio there. I think you muted.
Yeah, you hit mute, Zach. There you go.
It's a cyber hacker.
Yeah, I got cyber hacked. No, he hit. I think he hit mute.
But maybe my bandwidth's bad. But in that case, I think you would have to compromise the company that supplies the thermostat. Because, like, I'm sure, you know, Nest or Ecobee, they have probably some level of access into people's thermostats because they collect analytics and stats. And I don't know, I've never had to call their tech support, but they might have some way to help you support, you know, and figure out your device remotely.
Interesting.
So probably want to compromise somebody in that company.
So these are social engineering tactics you guys are using to just compromise people and get information. I mean, that sounds super fun.
Yeah. It, I mean, it can like be. A, and then I'm a little bit like I was never that good at it either.
Yeah, it does sound like spy work.
Yeah.
I was never that good at a lot of it too. Like somebody who's more personable and like okay being on the phone and lying
large
to people
breasts
would be
if
better
in person.
Mm-hmm. Oh, dude, women are actually way better at it, even over the phone. And like a lot of times for our phishing emails, we would use just women's names because I think people would trust it more.
Yeah, totally. Dudes will do anything if they think a hot chick is into
it. You're saying that in misogynistic America, that women would be trusted more?
They got that boob privilege.
Yeah, people don't see them as threats, I guess.
Yeah, that's crazy.
Well, you know, I think it's like if you can identify a single lonely person who has information.
Yep. Well, I've sort of done that before. We never actually closed the deal, but there was, I don't know how you want to take that either, but either way, but we were targeting a company and it's a huge company, like hundreds of millions of dollars a year. I don't even know it. Like the numbers seem made up to me at that point, but we targeted this guy over LinkedIn with a fake female account. And then he asked for like our number and we gave him a Google Voice number and he was just like texting us all the time.
You
and
got
flirting
all these dick
and, like,
pics from him.
Luckily, no, but he was wanting to like meet up and all this stuff.
Yeah.
And we looked him up and it's like, this guy's married. And we put it in the report. It's like, here's a blackmail opportunity. Like, yeah, we're not going to take it this far. But if we were malicious, crazy, we would. Yeah.
Yeah. So,
the employer knew who this person was? Or did you just keep the
employer
person anonymous?
No, we ratted him out.
That's crazy, man.
They didn't do anything to him because, like,
sure,
a year later.
No, that guy's never getting promoted.
They know that every time he's like, oh, yeah, I'm just going to go, you know, swing by here and go home. They know he's lying all the time.
Yeah.
But wow. A year after we gave that report, he texted the number again, wanting to meet up with the fake person. So like a year later, tell him.
Yeah. Dude, you guys are charming women.
I would love to see this text thread.
That's wild. And think about, I don't think AI is very good yet, but you know, people are going to start using AI to, you know, tell me what a sexy chick would say to.
Yeah. That's well, AI crazy. Is not great on its own, but if you're like guiding it, you can get some really good stuff out of it.
All right, Nate, quick aside here. Nate says, sorry, I'm late. Did I explain yet why Trump collapsed the bridge? Racism, which we just implied.
Well, Trump also hacked it. He pulled out a golden laptop and he hacked it.
Pretended to be a beautiful woman.
He's a
genius. Yeah. Yes. He's a genius.
Actually, I don't think Trump would do his own hacking because he, during the election, he said there would be a 300-pound hacker in his mom's basement doing this stuff.
No, it's pretending obvious to be a hot shit.
He doesn't respect the profession. He would not touch
no.
it himself.
Yeah, you're right. You're right. No, Trump would send the mother of all bombs to it if he wanted to really take it down. That's so interesting that you guys do that. I imagine that takes a lot of practice. It makes me think of what they call code switching with politicians and the appeals that they do to different audiences when they give speeches and their ads and stuff, that they're just trying to find that thing.
Or like how Kamala sounds more black when she's talking to black people.
Yeah. Yeah. And I think that guys, I guess there's many who are naive to this, that if a chick that you think is really, really good looking is coming on to you online, that's probably a dude. Pretending to be a chick.
Honestly, people may fall for it less now with AI because now, like, you're getting hit up by AI bots all the time.
All the time,
and you're just like, you know,
I'm killing
obviously
with those
this
bots
is fake
on Twitter.
But before AI, people did not, they weren't that skeptical when some chick reached out. If it wasn't in like obviously Photoshopped picture or if it wasn't, you know, like obviously porn, then I don't know, their defenses were down.
Yeah. That's funny. She's got like her leg behind her head and she's like, love to meet you for drinks. That's super cool. How did you train to do that? Did you train or did they just throw you in? You guys kind of learned along the way.
A little bit of both. I mean, I did go to college. I went to KSU for information security
Kennesaw
and insurance.
State.
Yeah. But I didn't actually feel like I learned a great deal there. I kind of just wasted my parents' money and got a degree, but then still didn't know a lot when I got out. And I spent a lot of time just on my own at night in the evenings, just researching and doing like capture the flag type things, which is like maybe puzzles or like legal ways to hack. And then there are vulnerabilities and there
what,
are.
What is that? What does that mean? Elaborate on that.
So capture the flag is sort of like a hacking exercise that, you know, just like enthusiasts or people who are learning or people who just want to show off will do. So, you know, you might set up a computer and be like, if you can hack this and come in and like, tell me what it says inside, you know, my C drive or whatever file. And then everybody tries to hack that computer and capture the flag that's on the computer and that prove that they hacked it. Or it might not be a computer. It might be like a web application or something. And there are ones like they might know the vulnerability is there. It's just up to whoever finds it.
Hmm. So do you go to these competitions they have, these hacking competitions? No,
I don't. I've never done anything like that. I have coworkers that have done it. And I know a lot of people who like that's how they learned everything in the industry. It's just by going to competitions and competing. Wow. It's just never been my thing. So I've never done it.
Tell me this. If what was I going to say? So Tits just made a good comment. Tits McGee on Rockfin says the bridge is America, folks. We're going down. Maybe, you know, I pointed this out at the beginning of the show. All the money we spend on infrastructure goes to destroy Ukraine's infrastructure by, you know, letting them engage in a war that's just going to continue to demolish them. So now he's going to raise the money. So it might be a signal. I have a hard time believing that this wasn't some sort of orchestrated thing. I'm not saying it's not real, but it just seems to very much justify everything that they want to do. And of course, they can wait around for stories to happen and then they can grab onto them and fit them into the narrative. But this one just seems to fit a little bit too perfect. What do you know about dehashing? There's a site called Have You Been Owned? Mm-hmm. And I've looked up my stuff and I've had to change passwords because just all of my information pretty much
was on there like 30 times.
Yeah.
Too. So it's, yeah. So I guess this is kind of going to be hard to explain, I guess, to a wide audience, but hashing is like a function of mathematics, basically, that they do with your password. So let's say you supply your password to Facebook. They don't just store that in their database as like a human readable password, because then if their database was ever compromised, all the passwords are in there. So they put it through a mathematical function called a hash that converts it into something that can never be taken back through the same process to a human readable form. So it will be just a string of letters and numbers, and it doesn't mean anything to you, and it doesn't work as a password. And technically, there's no way to get it back to the regular password. That's like best I can explain on the lowest level.
Could you crack a hash?
It depends. There are some that are very weak. And
I just have a lot of passwords of people I need you to help me get, is what I'm saying. Now, it's interesting to look at that stuff to see how vulnerable you are and how much of your data is out there. There's this thing on Google Drive, and I know that this is just so contradictory because Google has everything already, and Google's like, we will run a dark web, or I don't know. I know there's a difference in the deep and dark web. Can you explain the difference in those two to us real quick?
So I think the deep web is just things that aren't really indexed on search engines. So let's say that like I had a website and I had a members only section and only us three are in there talking.
So it's the ones you find if you do the site modifier.
Maybe, or they might not be discoverable. It might be things like behind a paywall or behind a password wall or whatever, and you can't get in there.
Yeah.
Or it might be stuff, there might be things that are, you can use the search modifier and find it, but they never intended for you to find it. That might be technically deep web too.
Yeah, yeah.
Then I think when people talk about dark web, they generally mean like the Tor network, where you go and you put in this big long string of letters and numbers, and it's rather than .com, it's .onion because they call it onion router.
And so the Tor network is where all the FBI agents look at child porn, correct?
I'm sure, yeah. But I mean, and they have their own databases of child porn too, so
they don't have to leave the office to look at it. Their own collection.
But the dark web, I guess, is more like the Tor network, where it bounces through like a series of hops before it actually goes to the final destination. So that's where like the end user can never know where the server is, and then the server really never knows where the end user is, and
that's why these
like
hackers are able to be they're not found, because they can't be discovered by the end user, and they can bounce around to new sites.
Basically, so things like, you've talked about Lockbit before, that's like the ransomware group. They have a website, but their website is on Tor. So it's like, you don't know where their server is physically located. When if it was on the internet, you could probably figure out where it is and go physically shut it down. But then the hackers themselves, they will hop through things. They might use Tor, they might use VPNs, or a lot of times they use other people's compromised computers to hop through.
So you told me something, I think you told me the other day, about how these cyber hacking groups, it's not like they're all in the same room together. Aren't they decentralized?
Oh, Lockbit for sure. I think that's what I was talking about the other day. Some of the cyber hacking groups, I don't know how they operate. I don't really have any insight to that, but a lot of times they will almost operate like they're a company. Like they may even be together in the same room. I don't know.
Yeah.
But Lockbit specifically, and that's the people who I guess have taken credit for Fulton County hack, and they are almost operate like an affiliate program, where there's the Lockbit site on the darknet, and then there's the ransomware software itself. And then they give that out to whoever wants it. Like you could go join Lockbit tonight and be like, and then just start going places and phishing people and plugging in USBs to thing and spreading ransomware. And then they split it like 80-20 with whoever spread the malware.
That's wild.
Yeah.
I wish I knew how to do all this stuff that you're talking about, because I think it's modern warfare is what it is.
Yeah. The funny thing about LockBit, like specifically, is the guy, or I guess, I don't know, whoever runs it kind of like put out this message. And it really seems like he doesn't think there's anything wrong with what he's doing. Like, he calls himself a penetration tester, the same as I am.
Yeah.
And he's like, I'm providing penetration tests to people, and it's just post-paid. And I guess his English is great, but he means like they just pay me afterwards. I'm like,
Had a flash of a movie scene, Zach, of you and this guy confronting each other and him looking at you going, you and me are the same.
Yeah. I can see that.
You're the punisher, though. You're sometimes, the good guy.
Well, if I had been born in, you know, Eastern Europe, maybe I wouldn't be. Like, I assume that's where these people are from.
Yeah.
So there was a comment from, I forgot about this aspect of the story, about the explosions. There was a video where some people are saying that they believe the bridge might have exploded, like a demolition. Is that correct on the story on that? I haven't dug too deep into that of Aaron Rockfin. I'm trying to find the comment here. So yeah, I don't know. I don't know if it was exploded, cyber hacked, or natural. I just know that Pete Buttigieg says it's racist, and they're going to be building up the infrastructure. Maybe. Mm-hmm.
If it was our job to take down that bridge and we had decided we're going to do it with a boat or a ship, I do feel like the easiest way would be to bribe the captains to run into the thing, or threaten them, whatever. It's like, if you don't do it, we'll kill your family. If you do do it, we'll give you $500 million. So that's why I would think that it would probably not need to be a cyber attack. And then usually when something is a cyber attack, it's not that precise.
And so Mike, why is the Cybersecurity Infrastructure Agency the one that is giving us updates on this story? That puts it in people's heads that it was a cyber thing.
Yeah, I don't know. It does. I mean, and there's been a lot of like executive orders and things like that recently, specifically about maritime and ports and cybersecurity. Yeah. So like the timing does seem weird. It's like we just happen to be talking about that and then it happens.
And all those, you know, hoax calls that Catherine was talking about earlier, it's all very interesting. And Retod on Rockfin, I too am sick of the very racist bridge. I cannot stand driving across them. But with this coming about right now, and then they're investing all that money. What are your thoughts on this being a tool of warfare moving forward, and the government doing things to just expand the military industrial complex, the cyber realm of it?
Yeah, I mean, it's definitely already a tool of warfare. Like, the government acknowledges it. I don't know personally like how bad it is, just because I'm really not plugged into cyber warfare and hacking groups and stuff. But, you know, in that executive order I was talking about where they talk about harbors and ports and stuff, it says, I actually have it here, it said something like, the security of the United States is endangered by reason of disturbances in international relations because of sophisticated malicious cyber campaigns against the United States.
Yeah.
So it definitely exists. And like, I feel like, you know, when I can do a penetration test and I'm just some, you know, idiot who went to Kennesaw State and sort of studied at night, and then I can find some really serious stuff that would let us wreak havoc, then, you know, the people in whatever foreign adversary you want to name, they have hackers who are full-time job looking for this stuff. They can find it too.
Wow.
Yeah, totally. Everybody's hacking everybody if they can, I think.
Yeah.
And the FBI, they've infiltrated. It's just.
Yeah. And I would think a lot of them are just sitting on stuff too. It's like, you don't always find something and immediately, all right, I'm going to exploit it right this moment.
Yeah.
But you might be like, all right, I'm just going to keep this in my pocket.
You got to wait to the right time to do it.
Yeah.
Which I wonder why everybody doesn't use the same type of cybersecurity as the Dominion voting machines in Fulton County.
Yeah.
Because those are the only thing that can't be hacked. What do you think about that? These claims that voting machines are unhackable. At least it used to be, I think, and they've already said that they're worried they'll get hacked in the next election, even though they were impossible to hack in the previous one, which was the Cybersecurity Infrastructure Agency, which said it was the most secure election in American history, to give you a hint of their credibility.
Yeah. Well, I know that they're vulnerable, and they have been for a long time. And I'm, you know, there's the annual conferences for the cybersecurity and kind of hacker industry. There's DEF CON, and there's Black Hat, and there's other ones. And almost every year, you know, back in like 2012, 2015, just whatever, they would be like, look how hackable voting machines are. They would have them at the conferences and demonstrate it in front of people.
They've been talking about how hacked these things are.
But you're racist and you're part of a RICO organized mob if you say that now. Or crazy.
And I remember one time they talked about how it wasn't even like a technical, like you can barely call it hacking. And there was a video of somebody rolling up like a rollable, like squishy keyboard and just like hiding it in his sleeve. And then he went in to vote and like plugged it into the machine. And that gave him whatever terminal that he, you know, whatever access he got.
See, this is awesome. That's what I think it's hilarious that, you know, Fox had to settle with Dominion over this when it's obvious you can't, no one believes that there's only one type of machine that can't be hacked, and it's the one that we use for our elections, and we will not apply this technology that we have to any other things that can be hacked. We're all because that we don't have enough of it. We only have enough of it to protect our elections machines.
And they actually listed as one of their biggest concerns and threats to this country this year, 2024, is the hacking of the voting machines. It's wild, which I'm sure it's Trump and Putin sitting around. It's time to get in there, Putin. Let's do a little penetration testing. It's crazy that they get people to believe this. Clean Parker says that it was a sharp right, not an explosion. I think that Clean is referring to the turn that the ship
made. Yes, I saw that.
I thought that was interesting, too. I don't know what it's like driving one of those things. 9.2 miles an hour is apparently fast.
First of all, you pilot them.
Yes. This is definitely one of those stories that, like you mentioned earlier, Zach, we're never going to get a straight answer to, but they will get billions and billions of dollars to expand the government and build equitable bridges.
The equity bridge.
Somebody mentioned earlier that they're apparently already doing the bridge white people tolls somewhere.
Here's what happens with the equity bridge. The lane for certain lanes, only certain races can go in. And like the white lane it's not going to go all the way across anymore. You're going to have to stop and you have to figure out how you're going to get away the rest of the way across the bridge. And each lane will be something like that, you know, depending on where you are on the oppression scale.
You have to get out of your car and shine the hubcaps of a black person's car.
Yeah. But certain, you know, so it's going to be equitable, not fair. But
equitable. Yeah. A lot of gender and transgender freedom on there. It's going to be a really wide bridge.
They're going to get their own
lane. Yeah.
They're going to get their own.
It's going to be a black transgender person in a wheelchair who is going to be able to move the fastest through that bridge.
Yeah. I guess I'm just.
And that'll be who's taking the toll, too.
Yes.
The toll booth will just be the most trans person you've ever seen.
Yeah. Totally. Yeah. So, Ian, do you have any questions for Zach, or does anybody in the chats have any cybersecurity-like questions? I know I'll think of some more stuff later, if you
Zach, Brad has a lot of young listeners out there. Where could they learn, or anyone who's curious, where would they start? What's a good first, even if you just want to know a little bit more about how to protect yourself, where's some place to go and check it out?
That's a good question.
So I guess if you're really wanting to get into like ethical hacking, pen testing, that would be what I know the most about. And I would say look for what's called like intentionally vulnerable applications. Like there's one called WebGoat. There's one called Gruyere after the cheese that has lots of holes in it. And, you know, practice on things like that. Another one's called Damn Vulnerable Web Application.
Pete Buttigieg is always practicing on that. Sorry.
Yeah. No. But that's good. So there's, you know, things like that. There's like tryhackme.com. Those are ones where you can go like actually hands-on, try to, you know, get that's into cool. systems, get past login pages and actually get a little practice. I went to college for it and I wouldn't do that again. Like if I were 18 now, I would tell myself to go, you know, find a job somewhere rather than going to college. So
you leak GTA 6.
Oh yeah. That did happen. Did that happen? No.
They leaked the trailer and some information about the game, which I think it might have been a PR stunt.
It's a PR stunt.
Maybe. Sony does see, that wouldn't be Sony, I guess it'd be Rockstar, but they do seem to get hacked a lot, Sony, where it's like they had like the X-Men movie completely leaked once, like the graphics weren't even finalized yet.
A lot of
so there'd be scenes where you'd see people with like no guns in their hand and stuff. Like, I watched the whole movie like that. I didn't
care. It's probably an inside job because there are a lot of people who can get onto these sets. I mean, I have, even as just an actor, I have had to go through some super secure applications where, you know, you had to download it to your phone and that's the only way I could access the
script. It can get really annoying.
And it was, I screenshotted scripts that no one should have seen and I could have leaked them out on Reddit, no problem.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
But I just chose not to because I'm not an asshole.
Yeah. Yeah, you'd be a hero though everybody else.
So anybody, so I think a lot of those are just inside jobs. I see those are, this was a 1099 employee that got onto set, got cleared, and he grabbed some shit because he figured, and I notice I didn't say she because a woman would never do
something. It was like a 16-year-old, I believe, they accused of it who had been who had done something before that they had. I think it's just, I don't know what the dynamics are. I think there's a lot of infiltration and a lot of pretending, but they make it seem like you can just control anything you want as a cyber hacker. They pay these ransoms, millions of dollars worth of ransoms to get control back of their companies and businesses. And I have a hard time believing that the FBI and the CIA is really being and letting these companies being held hostage unless they're the ones who are part of holding them hostage and robbing them of their money.
Yeah, I would say a lot of times, well, probably the way they find out who's done these things is through infiltration, because attribution is really hard. Like if I got hacked right now, I would have no idea who did it and I would be lucky to ever figure it out.
Yeah.
And the same applies to companies. So,
yeah.
Like you're probably never going to figure it out. And if you do, you might narrow it down to like a country that you think it came from and you could be wrong.
So you should always leave a signature as a hacker, right? Like Zora left a Z or, you know, some kind of signature so they get taunt them into finding you, you know?
Yeah. If you want to get caught, play cat you should and mouse. Do that.
Play cat and mouse.
That would be a funny season three of The Punisher where he doesn't know who to kill. So he just goes around killing a bunch of computer people.
Well, there was like one of the leaks from, I don't know if it was like the NSA stuff that got leaked where they leaked like hacking tools. One of them was like how to frame other countries using like telltale signs that they did it.
Yeah, I remember that. And I remember them talking about how we put cyber bombs all over. I think it was Iran or maybe it was Russia, maybe both. Obama was bragging about that. We just blow up these cyber bombs we have.
Yeah, they did Stuxnet. The virus that
the story. That's right.
Yeah, the U.S. and Israel created it together to hack Israel.
Say Israel. Don't say anything bad about Israel.
Well, they bravely created this virus to, basically try to blow up a nuclear plant in Iran. And they did it to a system that wasn't even on the internet. Like they had to devise a way to get it onto a thumb drive that then somebody would like carry and put on this computer.
God.
And then they spun something so fast that it kind of blew up. Like I'm sure not like a bomb explosion, but it broke down because it was spinning so fast and got hot.
Yeah, that's like Pete Buttigieg again.
Yeah.
He starts spinning. He gets real hot.
Really, yeah. So we have a couple of questions for you, Zach. Is The Net your favorite movie? Nate asked with Sandra Bullock, right?
I've never heard of that one.
You've never seen The Net?
No, I've never even heard of it.
And then watch Hackers as well.
Okay. Yeah. I love Hackers. I've seen that one too many times. And then Sneakers is really good too with Robert Redford.
Yeah, that's a good
one. Retod wants to know if you live in the future.
I do, yeah. I live on Neo Tokyo on Super Earth.
Yeah, he's referring to your view there outside your window. Very futuristic. Mm-hmm. Tits wants you to boost his loan balances. So hack into his account or whatever
that's
and boost his loan. Can you do that?
Ethical hacking, yeah.
Yes,
ethical. So make it so that he has more loans taken out?
Yeah, we need a little specificity. You don't want the wrong thing done here, Tits.
Yeah, I'm just going to put you in more debt.
Equality wants you to boost... hack in and boost their bank account. And that would
that one like makes that sense. Well. I got that. Okay.
Yeah. So is there anything you can do if your social security number and everything is already on the dark web Like, what at that point, it's like, what can you, you gotta change your identity?
I don't really know about that. I have no idea. That's not really my thing. Yeah, you're
what
probably
would people do with a social? I know you can get into, I guess if you're going to steal somebody's social, you have an idea of what to do with it.
You could take out loans. It could be a real hassle for your credit for the rest of your life.
Yeah, try to take out credit cards, take out loans, I guess buy a car in their name. I don't know. And then stop paying.
That is what I'm going to start saying when my credit score turns up low when I'm trying to get stuff. That somebody stole my identity.
When I used to manage restaurants out in L.A., I would always chuckle because, a lot of the guys in the kitchen would have the same social security number. But, you know, I don't give a shit. They're nice guys, you know.
These are immigrants.
Yes.
Yeah. They'd be getting...
Yeah, never ask them their birthday.
Yeah, they all have the same birthday. They're all like Bill Smith.
Whatever I put down on the application.
Yeah.
My application is my birthday. Oh, okay.
And they're going to be getting $300 credit cards in, where is it, California, where they're doing that now, where they're giving them all credit cards. Nate says, just tell them your credit identifies as a better score. It's a good idea. How dare you misgender my credit score, you bastards.
Hey, math is racist, I think, anyway.
With bridges are racist, math can be racist. Thank you, Tits, for the $5 tip. We appreciate it.
Everything is racist.
Tits asks you, does Zach believe Russia handed DNC servers to publish the wiki emails because they found a few letters? Or what is that? What is that word there? C-R-C-Y-R, Cyrillic? I don't pronounce that word well.
Oh. Yeah, I think I know what they're talking about. Cyrillic, yeah. No, I don't. I don't think they did it. I think Seth Rich probably leaked the DNC stuff. So, and then was killed for it.
You think that really, you don't think he just got killed by a random person?
They robbed him.
No. Thank you, Retod, for the tip as well.
I remember
he's a Democrat like staffer, right? Who, who Hillary slit his throat. You know, I'm just assuming.
That's right.
Slit his throat. I love that Hillary's back now. Hillary's like, can you believe Trump said the blood of the, you know, whatever it is he said the other day.
Bloodbath candidate.
Yeah. All right. So you guys want to go through a story, one more story to get out of here. Some quack says, yo soy American, I believe talking about your coworkers, Ian.
Yes, it's Armenian.
Oh, Armenian. Excuse me. I didn't read that right.
I think that's a layered joke if you're from L.A. I believe that's what that is.
Oh, all right. It's, I guess why we have you to get those L.A. deep cuts. So I haven't read this story. I just thought the headline was hilarious. Some people might find it scary. But here's the headline. We'll go through it together. Man arrested for allegedly taking leg after California train incident and eating it. There's a lot of ways this could go. A man has been arrested after being suspected of taking the leg of a pedestrian who was struck by an Amtrak train in California and then eating it. He's walking around. He stumbles upon an Amtrak crash. Yeah. There's a nice piece of meat.
Yeah. Hungry did Trump's policies make him to force grab that leg and eat it?
You're right. Exactly. It definitely had nothing to do with grocery prices that Biden has helped create, rising those up, making people want to cannibalize their dead.
That is crazy. I mean, did he eat the whole leg? Like,
I don't know. Can you imagine stumbling upon that? Like, I would like to be just walking like 30 feet behind him and this person has no idea. And you see him notice the leg and then make the decision to go start eating the leg.
Did the guy wonder if that happened? And then he just kind of looked at the leg and he's kind of looking around to make sure no one's checking out. And he's salivating. He's starting to really like,
I mean, we're assuming he ate it on the spot. Maybe he packed it up, took it home, made a gourmet meal. Let's find out
if the leg was completely severed or if he had to do a little work himself.
Now that's a good question. How hard did he have to work to get that leg? Was it a female leg?
Leg.
It's important.
Was the person still alive? It's like,
I mean, is the person alive?
I'm actually feeling all right.
Guys, my leg. They're like, yes, we know it's gone. We're going to, you have to say goodbye to your leg. Okay. It's gone.
It's like, you have to cut it off. You have to cut it off. He's like, I don't have a knife. And he starts eating it.
Yeah, he's the hero here.
Yes.
Yeah.
Dan Superstar says the defense doesn't have the leg to stand on. Not anymore. It's in this person's belly. Officials say the man who allegedly removed evidence from the Amtrak station on Friday, removed evidence, was identified
the leg.
As 27-year-old Rosendo Tellez. Around 8 a.m. This is in the morning. I wouldn't think you'd eat a leg in the morning.
It's a heavy breakfast.
Yes, yeah, maybe it's a bit
maybe
heavy.
Maybe he was breaking his fast. Maybe he was on a 24-hour fast.
Deputies responded to the BNSF Railroad Police Department. That's a very specific police department. To a report of a pedestrian who was struck by a train at the station in the 700 block of the G Street in Waska. Maybe they are still alive. Deputies said they learned that Tellez allegedly removed evidence, a leg, from the scene. You're right. I wish that they would have had it like in lockup at the police station and he would have somehow hacked in and stolen the evidence and eaten it so he'd be innocent. See, peace out, tits. You can't do the cannibalism. Well, it's just necessity for this guy. We never know. But they say, I'm not sure. Or a crew laying concrete outside of the station reported seeing a horrifying sight. Oh, my God. I'm not sure from where, but he walked this way, like the song, and he was waving a person's leg. And he oh, my goodness. He started chewing on it over there. So he was. He was eating it out in public. And okay. He was hitting it against the wall. So this is a crazy person, it sounds like. Unless he enjoyed it so much, he started hitting it against the wall. You ever do that with like a chicken wing?
Yeah. You just hit it against the wall.
It's so good.
You gotta tenderize that meat, Brad.
That could be
this guy an orc from Lord of the Rings.
So this is interesting because it's that story of the dude in Haiti
shoeing a sock on this leg.
Maybe that's what he was after. Maybe it was a pair of Air Jordans. Like, what's the guy's name? Barbecue in Haiti?
Yeah, I know.
But that's a gross story. I'm telling you, get your storable foods right now. You don't want to be this guy. I'm not going to read that line there because that is gross.
He didn't prep hard enough.
Yeah. They said the man was homeless and he was unsure where the guy came from. They showed up and they stopped. So that's interesting. I kind of figured he was homeless. Get rid of that. But I don't know. This is almost like a glimpse of what society would be like if the grid was cut off.
This is what society used to be like.
There's JC.
You know, when we're talking, in Old Testament times.
Yeah. Right?
I believe like in ancient Babylon and this, I mean, the world, it was a place like this, you know. There probably are places like this right now in many, many poorer countries where it is like this, where it's just I'm sure there's a lot of leg eating going on in North Korea.
In Haiti, I mean, that story of barbecue and the cannibalism.
Yeah.
They're taking over there. Exactly. It's almost like they're trying to put it in the popular mind. And you combine that with power outages. It feels to me anyway like there's more power outages from where I live. I don't know if you guys experience similar. We have the cyber hacking, the threat of the grid going down, these being some of the biggest threats in 2024. I don't know if any of those will actually manifest over here. But like you said, Ian, they probably already are or will in, you know, second and third world countries. But it just tells me I need to set aside a little bit to invest in more storable food so it doesn't come to that. And
yeah.
You guys got your bunkers ready or what?
I don't have a bunker ready.
I've got a room for Zach in my bunker when I get one so he can hack into other people's bunkers and we can steal all their food.
If the shit hits the fan, I'm really more worried about like my cats and stuff. I love my cats. I don't want them to.
Yeah, your neighbors are going to be like salivating over
your cats.
But
I told you, I'm taking over my cul-de-sac. I already have a plan. I figure I start with the cul-de-sac and then I just grow the empire from there. Because my neighbors are not going to expect it. I'm the only one who's thought about it. I'll tell you that. I know them all. They're very nice. And I'm the only one who's had this thought. You know, so
You're like Alex Jones, eat your ass.
I'm not going to eat their legs. I'm not going to eat their legs. I don't think I'll be. I'll be a benevolent warlord. I'm not going to be that kind of warlord. You know,
Equality says that she think, or she, I don't know if it's she here or what it is. Equality says that I think most of these stories are made to scare people into staying home and eat the bugs.
I was thinking the same thing. Eat the bugs, not the legs.
Yeah, totally.
It's not hard to not get hit by a train, though. I feel like
part of this story that we don't know anything about is how did it happen? What happened to the person that's been hit by a train? Because it could be still alive. And the doctor could be like, we could reattach your leg. We just need the leg.
And then you're going to have like, you're just going to have these bite marks out of it.
I guess I'd take it. I don't know. But then they'll have the robot legs now. So that's another way to become a
cyborg. And you can hack his robot leg. You can hack someone's robot leg.
Dude, so that's what's really wild about. We didn't even get into the Elon Musk Neuralink thing, how hackable these things are. I mean, they encourage us to do everything online. And now we see this person putting the chip in his head. And look, the guy was paralyzed. If I were in his same position, then I would probably do the same thing. And I'm not going to fault anybody for wanting to be able to do things again in that situation. But the vulnerability there, that's as soon as that becomes mainstream, it's going to be the target of people trying to hack in it. And are there going to be vulnerabilities in those types of chips, you think, Zach?
I mean, probably. There's really nothing's unhackable.
Right.
Like there's really hard to hack things and there's easy to hack things, but I don't think there's anything that's unhackable. Like even as a big fan of Bitcoin, people say it's unhackable. I'm just like, I don't think that's true. It's just would be extremely hard and time consuming and probably not worth it. And I couldn't do it. But No. The Neuralink, I'm sure they're going to put better security into it than, you know, whatever the ship companies or whatever government agency is doing, but I wouldn't do it unless I was like a paraplegic. I'm not taking
what they'll do is they'll show people doing superhuman like things and it'll make people go, I want to do superhuman like things. I played these clips from, it was Arizona State Politics Channel, a political department channel, and they had somebody from DARPA and some military people on there and some professors. And this one military lady was talking about how they were working on these brain computer interfaces, that what they could do or what they were working on getting them to do was enable the soldiers to do a couple of things. One thing being that they could control a drone swarm with their thoughts. So if they were surrounded by enemies who were about to kill them, they could just like, I guess, close their eyes and then a swarm of drones would come and just take out all the enemies.
They have a killing word. Like,
it's wild. And then the other thing that they said that they were working on being able to do was enabling all of the soldiers in a unit to communicate with each other silently, like with their thoughts in their head, which is really wild because whose thought is it, you know? And they even brought this up. What if somebody commits a war crime and just kills a bunch of children or something? Who is the one who initiated that thought through the chip? And who is going to be responsible for that war crime? I mean, it's like wild stuff they were talking about. This is a couple of years ago, too.
Huh.
I don't know that I'd be very... that would not make me want to be in the military.
I think we probably learn about stuff they've been using for quite a while, you know, much later. I'm sure there's technology that the United States government has that would blow your fucking mind.
Yeah, dude, totally. Nate says that those of us who have seen a Universal Soldier knows how this goes. Yeah, they play it out in the movies and stuff. I think you're right, Ian. I would love to just get a glimpse of the research and development department of some of these companies that the government's contracting with. And it's almost like, let's send Ukraine all of our old weapons because we got the new wild shit coming out.
Well, you know that Trump was like super excited when they killed Soleimani, right? We got stuff.
He's dead.
He's
dead.
He's press a button. You know,
dead,
dead.
Yeah, I feel like if I was that soldier controlling the drone swarm with my mind, I'd be like, why am I even here? They should send a robot.
And that, right. And then why am I not walking around showing chicks how I can control drone swarms somewhere in the city? gets to a point where they put a stop on it. So what if somebody goes too far with doing that? What is this like? What is it? What's the movie? Not the Justice League, the other one, the anti-Justice League movie where they put the bomb in the guy's head if he goes too
Suicide
far.
Suicide Squad?
Yeah, Suicide Squad. I can't remember which character, but they put a bomb in all of their heads.
All of them. Yeah.
And they'll blow their heads up if they don't go too far. And I think if they were going to create a super soldier, they would have to put some sort of thing in place like that that would enable them to stop them.
Or one drone that you can't control. Like if you step out of line, that drone kills you.
Yeah, it's the biggest drone. Totally.
I would just make a killing on Uber Eats delivering food.
With drones? That'd be great. With my drones? Video games, you have it. Yeah, but if you make the wrong thought, like say you're playing Call of Duty and you're like fucking kill him and just kill somebody who just ordered Arby's or something.
I've often thought like
Arby's was gonna kill him.
if there was like 15 or 16 year old me and living in a world where drones were delivering food and things like that, or we had autonomous vehicles going down the road, I would fuck with them. Like I would catch a drone, like I would lure it. And I would throw a net over it or something. Like my friends and I would try to catch a drone. That'd be one thing we'd do. Another thing you do if you're driving, you know that these autonomous vehicles have to obey the rules, right? So you and your friends, you kind of, you know, get around it and you make it slow down, you make it stop, and then you take over one of these autonomous vehicles just for fun. I mean, I would have it
always peering through the windows when friends were masturbating.
Yeah.
Not that I have a schedule, but
but I just think, I don't know. I don't want to live in a world where I'm in my neighborhood and drones are zipping in and out of here.
Do you see them? I see them all the time. They were doing an experiment a couple of years ago with Georgia Tech and the fire departments where the drones were just in the sky all the time.
I don't see it.
Ready for emergencies and stuff. It's wild. Now they have the civilian drones, because they have these civilian drones where they say you can buy a drone now and these drones are dangerous, which they want to put regulation laws
against. You have to have a license, I think, for over a certain types you have to have a license for.
Yeah, it's just privacy.
You have to pass a test for it even.
Yeah.
Oh, to drive it, to be able to fly it correctly?
Yeah.
The certain ones, like over a certain weight or something like that.
Dude, it's like, at what point are we in Ender's Game? You know? You start to think about that sometimes, and I do anyway. And then I don't know if you guys ever think about simulation theory, but I do as realistic as these video games get.
I think it probably is. It's a very rational explanation of reality.
And I think when you get into it, you just kind of have to choose, like, either I believe in it or I don't. There's no way to prove it, I don't think.
Exactly.
So I'm just like, I choose to believe we live in base reality.
Yeah.
And I think I'm right, but.
Yeah, I hope so. I hope they were right. So last little headline, then we'll get out of here. We can just go with the headline here because it says the whole story, really. Dollar Tree increases max price in its stores to $7 by the end of the year. That's where we are right now. $7 is the new Dollar Tree. And the economy's great. Jobs are great. And everything's going fantastic.
You're just depressed. You're just depressed.
And Joe Biden is not mentally incompetent. Mm-mm. He's invigorated.
Invigorated.
Pete Buttigieg is killing it, too. Yeah. Our infrastructure is great.
Biden could arm wrestle a bull and win.
Yeah. Biden could get power-bottomed by Buttigieg, and he wouldn't be pushed back at all. And wait, he'd win. He'd win that fight. Disgusting fight he'd win.
Yeah.
So, Zach, again, where can people go? I know you do Liberty Libations. What day do you guys do the show?
Thursdays at 8, I think it is. And look on Rumble and YouTube, just an X, Liberty Libations. Sometimes I'm on, sometimes I'm in the background. But overall, it's fun every time. I'm also on X, Z Varnell. And then if you're interested in the whole cybersecurity stuff, you can check out my company, Asteros, and that's asteros.com. Contact me there, you know, see what we're all about and reach out if you want to.
Send him a phishing email. See if he,
if you can fool him.
Yeah.
Ian, would you like to direct anybody to Reginald or anywhere else?
Yeah, people can go to Reginald V. Actor. You know, I got to be honest, I haven't been on there a lot lately. I've been swamped with work, with real work, Brad. The kind of work that makes a parent proud. Yeah. But I've been a little swamped. But I'll be back on there. And plus, we got a lot of fun things you and I have been talking about. So
yeah, we're gonna do a live show. Yeah. We're gonna do a live show, and we've been talking about format and stuff. And hopefully this summer. Well, that's why I want to do it. I want to do it soon.
Lots of fun stuff happening.
Nice.
If you guys, if we can get generate some interest to a live show here in Georgia, we definitely want to do one. So thank you guys for watching and all the great chats and the tips is fantastic. We appreciate it. And you can find me at Freedom Act Radio on Twitter, youtube.com/Brad Binkley, The Prop Report, rumbles.com/Prop Report, and wherever. Thank you guys again. We'll talk to you next time. Thank you for joining me, Zach and Ian. Have a fantastic rest of your day. And...